Scripture for today comes from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God's blessing, Steve, as you share.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks to God. This morning, the focus statement of the message is gratitude is an action word. I shared this with April, and she said, shouldn't it be gratitude as a verb? It's more concise, it makes sense. But the reason I specifically use this statement is that it's often used in recovery programs, 12-step programs, Alcoholics Anonymous, especially as they're working through the final steps in their 12-step process. They're getting to the point where they're grateful. They're grateful to God or grateful to the higher power, however they might say that. They're grateful to their partners in this 12-step program that they've gotten to this place and they're beginning to experience recovery from whatever addiction or life circumstance that has gripped them. And now they're getting to the point where they'd like to actually share their gratitude by blessing others and leading others towards this process and the hope that they've found. And so gratitude becomes an action or a response to what they've experienced. The 12th step in Celebrate Recovery says, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all of our affairs. So there's action that comes from their gratitude. And we'll see that that was a big part of what Paul shared to the Corinthian church. One testimony by an individual going through 12-step process was, it's easy enough to say that you're grateful for something, but acting like it is completely different story. When I said that I was grateful for my car, sure I meant it, but I had little to no respect for the fact that my father not only gave me the car, but he helped me take care of it, he put gas in when it was needed, and even taught me how to drive it. I repaid him by betraying his trust and continued to pick up drugs with that car and to use it for other illicit activities. In that very car, the same night that I told him that I was grateful for it. So learning that gratitude leads towards some kind of a response in a positive way. And so one way that we can define gratitude is the quality of being thankful. But it's not only a state of mind, but it's also the action that flows out of that. A readiness to show appreciation for and return kindness for what we are thankful. So I want to look at our scripture this morning. And in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15, Paul is describing, or he's interacting with the Corinthians, and it's all about this offering that he's collecting for the church in Jerusalem. They're going through a difficult time. There's a famine. He's going through all these Gentile churches and collecting an offering, calling them towards generosity. And at the end of this particular passage of scripture, he just, like Paul often does, he blurts out this word of praise and thanksgiving to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Have you ever gotten a gift or some type of service towards you that you had no words to respond? It could be in a negative way. You know, you've been given an ugly sweater. You don't know quite what to say. It's different. It's, you know, whatever. I had a friend, one of my friends growing up, obviously his name was Steve, and his dad was at a gas station and wanted to, he saw that there was a child there at the air pump having difficulty filling up the bike tire. And this is kind of a foreshadowing, but it's not a good idea to fill up a bike tire with like high pressure hose. So my friend's dad went over to help and ended up blowing up this kid's tire, literally blowing it up. And what does the kid say after that? Thank you for trying to help me. You know, what's the proper response when some strange man comes over and blows up your tire trying to be helpful? But I want to think more, obviously more positively. What is it about gifts that when they're given to us, our response is beyond words? We don't even know what to say. So I want to give some suggestions of what these gifts might look like. One is a gift that you never thought you'd get or deserve. Like it's beyond your imagination, beyond your expectations. And you might even feel like beyond your worthiness. Way beyond. Another type of gift might be something that has just unbelievable value or beauty or quantity. So it's just, it has these exceeding qualities, just breathtaking in what's being offered. Another way that a gift might be beyond words and how to respond is that it was given with a great cost to the giver or great sacrifice. Remember that story, the gift of the Magi? The woman has beautiful hair, and to give a gift to her husband, she cuts off her beautiful hair so she can buy a gold chain for his watch. And meanwhile, her husband sells his beautiful watch in order to buy these beautiful hair combs for her hair. So great, they both at great cost bought these gifts that then the other couldn't use because of their sacrifice. But think of being rescued. Someone took a great risk to dive into icy waters or somehow put their life on the line for you. Another way is the gift is greatly needed. At just the right time when you didn't know how you were going to make it, you were going to pay for something, whatever it might be, someone comes through just at the time that it's greatly needed. And the last one that I want to suggest is a gift that's very thoughtful and personal just for you. You know, it's not a Dollar General gift card. It's not anything just generic, but very personal to you. And you could tell the person was very thoughtful in how they decided to get this gift to bless you. So just some thoughts about gifts that are just inexpressible as far as how we're going to share our thanks. So Paul says here, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And he says that in the midst of all this talk about generosity and blessing others, but then thinking about how he and his fellow Christians there at Corinth have been blessed by God through Jesus. And probably thinking about what he wrote just previously, we find it in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. This is an indescribable gift. That though Jesus was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So when we think about the gift of Jesus and what he offered to us, and then you think of those five ways that I mentioned that gifts are inexhaustible, indescribable, inexpressible as far as how we give thanks. The first is that it's just we feel unworthy or undeserving of this gift that goes beyond our imagination. That's surely a way to describe the good news of Jesus for us. A gift is also a gift that has exceeding value. Thinking about Jesus, the eternal dimensions of the gift that Jesus gave to us and how it affects every part of our life. The fact that it came at great cost, obviously it came at the cost of Jesus' life and his agonizing death. It was a gift that is greatly needed. Just when we need it, the Lord Jesus, in our spiritual and in our physical condition, we're poor and needy, we're in bondage, we're blind, we have crushing loads of oppression upon us. That's what Jesus came for. At just the right time when it was greatly needed, he came for us. And also that it's personal. That's not just a blanket amnesty somehow that Jesus puts out there, but somehow it speaks to us and transforms us each in our own particular way to give us new life and eternal life. So what I think Paul is doing here and trying to communicate is that this kind of thanksgiving and gratitude, inexpressible gratitude, becomes the very core of our worship. And it becomes the core of our very approach to life. You know, it's at the foundation of how we live with this sense of gratitude for what we've been given. And so it leads us towards a life of generosity. It leads us towards a life of grace and of selflessness. And that in turn leads other people to declare thanksgiving because of how God has blessed them through us. So I'd like again to revisit 2 Corinthians 9. And I'm going to, that passage that Merle read for us, and I'm going to read it, and I wanted us to hear it now with that setup. We're hearing this with the ears of people who are saying thanks be to God for his indescribable gift to us in Jesus. That's how this is the lens through which we're reading this again. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's the person filled with gratitude, the one who sows bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is a cheerful giver, and we're following in his footsteps. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that, and let me stop there. God, because we're generous, God will provide you with every blessing in abundance. And if we stop there, it sounds like, that's great. If I'm generous, God's just going to bless me with abundance. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, he blesses us in abundance so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So we're not blessed just to be blessed and soak it all in. We're blessed by God in our generosity so that we can continue to be generous, to continue to bless others with what we've been blessed with. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Again, the things that God supplies us with is so that we have a harvest of righteousness. There's a harvest of righteousness that blesses God, and that righteousness is also the generosity like this offering to the people, the church in Jerusalem that's suffering greatly. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. The people in Jerusalem are going to be filled with thanksgiving because of you. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with others. And this is what happens then. Picture the people in Jerusalem. They long for you and they pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. And so the other party, you have united hearts with them and they're filled with thanksgiving to God because of you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So all this, I think, describes how when we have a sense of gratitude for this indescribable gift of Jesus and all that God has provided for us, it becomes active in how we then bless God and bless others out of our gratitude. And the other point that I want to make this morning is that often our thanksgiving can kind of be conditional or responsive to good things that happen to us. So we're thankful, especially when good things happen to us, when we've been blessed. But I saw this sermon title, and I didn't go any farther with it, but just the title, The Discipline of Thanksgiving. That just really struck me. That thanksgiving can be a discipline, something that we practice, even when it's just not automatically flowing up from our hearts because of something that just happened to us. And that's why we actually had this discipline during our worship service this morning of throughout the service saying, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks, to hopefully reflect that kind of gratitude and praise is built into our life at all times, no matter what's going on in our life. When we aren't practicing the discipline of thanksgiving, when it's not a part of our regular life, we can become ungrateful or at least self-satisfied. When we're ungrateful, obviously we don't express our thanks to other people. And it can hinder relationships. And you can probably relate to that when you continually feel unappreciated when thanks aren't expressed. And it's not like we expect it, like, I'm going to do this for you, but I'm expecting that you're going to thank me for it. You know, we're not that obvious with it, but still we kind of sense when someone is appreciating or thankful for the things that we do. And it can really lead towards relationships growing cold between us and God and between us and other people when there's a lack of acknowledgement or appreciation. Or it can be self-satisfied. We just have this sense that I'm doing pretty well. I've got my life in order. And there's not an acknowledgement that other people have a role or that God has a role in where my life is headed and the positive state of my life. Again, leading to the sense of complacency and a lack of appreciation. And so we can be disciplined in our thanksgiving. To somehow build that in, to continually take that time to rejoice and to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all circumstances. And I just want to point to that story of the 10 lepers. If you remember, these 10 lepers come to Jesus and they cry out from a distance, have mercy on us, Jesus, you know, heal us. And he sends them away. Like, he gives them this act of faith. Go from here. Go to the priest and show him your healing. And so this kind of this expectation is faith that along the way we're going to be healed. And sure enough, they get to the priest and these 10 lepers are healed. And I can just imagine that moment when the priest declares them healed, you know, because at that moment their life is restored. You know, everything they lost, they've found again. And I'm sure that all 10 of them were thankful at that moment, thankful to Jesus for what he did and where their life is headed. But only one is disciplined enough to actually go back to Jesus and say thank you. And I can relate to that of generally feeling thankful, where if somebody asked us, we'd say, well, of course I'm thankful, you know, but not being disciplined or deliberate to declare our thanks to God or declare our thanks to other people. And so we can lose our edge. When I said previously, this gratitude can be the very foundation of our life, the foundation of our worship and the foundation of how we relate to God and to others. We lose that edge when we lose the discipline of thanksgiving. And so this morning, I wanted to give you a heads up here, but I just want to give opportunity for us to be able to share any words of thanks. We're going to have two. If Brennan and Daniel could have the handheld mics in each aisle, you could just think of something you'd like to that you'd like to share as far as anything that you'd just like to declare your gratitude about. If it's something you just shout out, I'll repeat it, but feel free to take a mic.
I was very thankful to learn from my very kind oral surgeon this week that, contrary to the panic that I was in, I did not rip out all my stitches and undo all the surgery that I had done last Thursday.
Okay.
I thought that I had done that, and I went and found out that no, things are fine and I need to trust the process.
Okay.
So I'm very grateful for their kindness and willingness to take another look at it, mm-hmm. and to God for hopefully continuing to heal.
Mm-hmm. I'll combine a little announcement with Thanksgiving, but I just got an email this week. There's a new ministry in our Conestoga Valley area called Seeds, S-E-E-D-S, and it's offering things like housing support, English as a second language, some other things, not in competition with CVCCS, but another way to help those in need. And it just struck me, I'm thankful for our new house, but I'm also thankful that it's in our community, like in the Conestoga Valley community. So we're in the church community, but we also can feel connected to these things that are going on right here. Like, it was our hope and prayer from the beginning that we'd be in this community, and we thought we might have to expand our search beyond this community, but just grateful that God led us to this house. What else? Anybody, anything else to share this morning?
This would be in regards to our Sunday school lesson this morning and the father-in-law image. I am very thankful for my father-in-law, of course, deceased, just the lifestyle he displayed to his sons and the way he treated his wife, and then the sons passing that along to the wives.
Yeah.
Also to my own father, who was very wise and never said much, but what he said to me was very, very important.
I didn't have a lot of choice because Jesus leaned over and said, you should stand up and say what you're thankful for. And then Marilyn said, did you even hear what he said? And I said, yes, I did. I'm thankful that in the year 2000, Marilyn and I walked into here and received a very warm welcome. And that ever since, on a Sunday morning, when I come in here, I feel that same warm welcome. And that whoever we bring here, it's just amazing, they experience that too. So mm-hmm. I'm thankful for this church being that kind of warm, welcoming church.
Hello, everyone. I just want to say that I am very thankful for all of you beautiful people for just being super kind and nice and inviting me into your lives and just helping me make through, you know, my crazy life. And, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. We're glad you're here.
These people here.
Mm-hmm.
And those people over there. And these people here. And these people here.
All around you. I'm thankful for a good preacher of the gospel and a good pastor for us. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Mm.
Thanks.
Following on what Rance shared, we're new to this congregation. And it was difficult to look for a new congregation after being a pastor for 26 and a half years for one congregation and to find a place that was so warm and welcoming. We really appreciate it. We're fully grateful.
I was going to write this in a card. I might still, because I probably won't remember to say everything. But one of the things I appreciate about this congregation, this church, is the ability to share our gifts with each other. And I have been through seasons of my life where I just felt like I wasn't really sure what I had to offer or how my life could be used in a particular season. And I have felt like Neil and Donna have really nurtured gifts that I've had in me or encouraged me to use them and kind of called me up to use them well. And I'm not sure if I would have gone forward without their encouragement. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. And for many of you who make needs known and that you're not afraid to ask or, yeah. So thank you. I really appreciate that.
I'm thankful for many things, but this morning I'm thinking of the way that God has created our bodies, that they heal, that we can experience healing when we're in a situation that we feel that that's probably not a possibility. So I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the people in this church who, during that time, came to our rescue. And as we were needing to move, and Steve was very sick, just stepped in and made it happen. And we couldn't be more grateful and more thankful for this congregation and all that you have done. And the third thing is that you have made our daughter-in-law, Kristen, feel so at home here. And for someone with a need for care and a background that puts her at odds with a lot of people in our community, but she is so blessed by being here, and I am so grateful.
I just want to say thank you so much. When I sent out the email, I'm so thankful for you as a congregation bringing in all those coats. My sister-in-law works at CVCCS. Her name is Nicole. And she texted me and she said, oh, Tricia, we had this desperate need for coats. We're sending people away without being able to give them a coat. And can you please share it with your church? And I shared it you guys just brought so many coats in already. So thank you so much. I just feel so blessed to be a part of a church that is so giving and thoughtful. And, you know, I feel like you really know how to bless others unconditionally with God's unconditional love. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to close in prayer. Take this time, especially this week, to, in whatever way, declare your praises and your thanks to God and to one another. And don't stop after Thursday, obviously. Make it your discipline to live a thankful life. Let's pray. God, we praise you. We give you thanks for your inexpressible gift for our Lord Jesus. Just the culmination of your love for all of creation and for each one of us, that Jesus came to redeem us, to give us new life, to bring true righteousness and justice into this world, and to grant everlasting life one day, filled with all the fullness of God. And may that gratitude in our hearts just propel us forward to worship you, and to love and to serve and to bless others with great generosity and selflessness and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.